Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have a lot to get to on the show today. We're going to have a focus on a sustainable aviation fuel coming up here throughout the program, and some folks who may be a little happy with the news, but also maybe a little bit unhappy with the news out this week for the Biden administration in terms of SAF tax credits and more. Coming up in segment two, we're going to talk with Tom Bias from the American Carbon Alliance and get their perspective on this news out this week. Also, at segment three, we're going to talk with Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association, get his perspectives, get a farmer perspective from Josh coming up here on this sustainable aviation fuel tax credit news and more. Coming up at the end of the show today, we're going to talk cattle issues with Bill Bullard, the CEO of RCAF USA. He's going to join us for a conversation as well. So a lot to get to here on today's AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. And as a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit cenex.com for details. Let's kick off the show. Let's talk markets. A little bit of green on the screen here in the grain trade and in cattle too. Jim McCormick, agmarket.net, is with us here on the show today. Jim, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Jesse. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, and especially thanks for having me on a day with a lot of green on the screen. It's kind of nice to see today, to be quite honest, after the earlier part of the week.
Yeah, earlier part of the week, I know Tuesday was a pretty tough day, especially as we kind of ended the month of April and moved into the month of May, and then even Wednesday was kind of quiet, but here we are with a little bit of green led by soybeans and a few of the wheat contracts here. What's the big driver in this grain trade? Is it just, are we adding a little risk premium in with the rain that we've been getting across the U.S. here and maybe slowing us down for planting? Is there something else going on? What do you see it here, Jim?
Well, I think there's a combination. I think definitely the headline of the weather, I think, is starting to really start to draw the trade's attention, Jesse. You know, all you got to do is look at the radar. You have some pretty good rains coming to parts of Iowa. Now, it's kind of a mixed bag. As dry as Iowa's been, that drought monitor, which gets updated today, you know, we know Iowa's been very dry, but you know, this rain is definitely slowing up planting. We've got some clients that are done. We got other clients that are really struggling to get in. And I think, you know, the theme the last couple of days was, hey, you know, if it stays wet the next week or two, this could become a problem. Well, it seemed like almost today, or at least overnight market, somebody said, well, this could be a problem in a couple of weeks. I'm going to get out in front of it. Because remember, Jesse, the funds are still quite short a lot of this corn and bean positions. And, you know, they've got to be a little bit uncomfortable seeing how quick that wheat market rallied on essence of the opposite of a dry forecast for the plains and parts of Europe. And the funds got squeezed out. So it feels like it's a combination of weather premium coming in as well as forcing some of these big net short position by the funds out. Because they, remember, Jesse, they're carrying a much bigger short position than they normally do for this time of year. So a little bit extra firepower to squeeze it up. And then lastly, we did get some positive news last night that quote-unquote ground beef is safe. They did that testing. They did not find it came back negative for the H5N1 virus. That has the cattle market running hard today. It has the feeder cattle up sharply today. And I think that might have helped give us a little bit of a boost as well in, you know, situation, at least on the corn, that you know, we're going to hopefully keep the consumer eating that beef.
Well, and that point there about that news headline, that's a great, I think, it really explains just how much the psychological impact of news headlines is impacting this livestock trade. You know, on Wednesday midday, we saw headlines out about the administration saying that this bird flu could affect a certain group of humans who are more exposed, et cetera, and that felt like that kind of sent the cattle market sharply lower. Then that news you mentioned with ground beef testing, we get that back, and here cattle are getting back pretty much all the losses from Wednesday's session. It's just, I think it speaks to the volatility right now of the news cycle impacting the cattle market, especially.
Exactly. I mean, we're doing it, and a lot of people got to understand, you know, the computers, you know, the AI systems, they are programmed to read headlines. So, I mean, it's not just a human making that analytical decision. You have computers that are reading this, deciphering as a bullish and bearish, and you're getting these volatile moves because these, you know, the computer programs are trading it. But there's no doubt about it. We're going to trade headline to headline. And if you're a cattle producer, I'm hoping the heck we are out of, you know, the woods on this storyline. But the reality is this bird flu continues to expand. You're finding it in more and more mammals. You know, there could be another negative story that pops, and you saw how what happened earlier this week, as you mentioned. You know, having puts under your market or under your, you know, your livestock as a way to mitigate risk. Our group thinks that's probably not the worst thing to do because right now it's definitely kind of a shoot first, ask questions later reaction to these headlines.
No, very, very true, and a good point there. And I think risk management wise too, on the grain side, you know, you get a lot of green on the screen, and folks get excited and happy. But you know, something you've said to me quite a few times is, you know, with the way this market is, you're busy with planting season, you got to have some of those orders working, don't you, Jim?
Well, you do. There's no doubt about it, because it, by the time your brain even register it, it's, you know, it may be done. Like a cattle market, classic example. I mean, the cattle market's been open for a little over a half hour now, and it's traded a dollar off its highs. You know, if you wanted to sell June cattle at 178, that was the high. But if you said, hey, I want to sell it at that price level, by the time you picked up your phone or typed in the order to make it, that trade, you might have missed it. So the best thing to do is have, if you've got a price target that you want to sell at, get the orders working. Because we're also finding with this volatility, a lot of orders are getting filled at night that would not get filled during the day. Just kind of the world we're in right now.
Yeah, it's got to be a smart, you got to be a smart risk manager here. Jim, Fed meeting wrapped up Wednesday afternoon as well. And no change to interest rates as expected. It seemed like the Fed didn't give any indication when they might cut rates. Any big notes for you from that meeting and the outside market impact?
Well, right now, I think in general, I think it was one of the more confusing statements. They did the statement. They came out with the, you know, the press conference. I, you know, you read different wrap-ups of how it came out, Jesse. It seemed like everyone kind of had a little bit different viewpoint. My viewpoint, plain and simple, was the Fed said, look, we are not anticipating any raising of interest rates at all. The market liked hearing that, but at this point, they're not ready to cut rates, but they also didn't take it off the table. That did give us a nice sharp rally, at least temporarily yesterday. Then we kind of backed off pretty hard. We've rallied a little bit right now, and it just shows you this economy is very, very tough. You know, you're getting some parts of inflation just will not go away. But on the other hand, you know, the demand, I mean, jobs numbers continue to be good. We get another jobs number on Friday. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I think it's going to be a very tough economy. And I think as we build closer to the presidential election, it's only going to get a little bit more tougher to read where we're at.
Well, I know folks can find you guys if they have questions and want to get some answers about the marketing plan online. Agmarket.net is the best place to start. Jim McCormick, always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Thank you for joining us on AOA again. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Jesse.
Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net joining us here on AOA today. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're going to talk sustainable aviation fuel and more coming up next. Tom Bias with the American Carbon Alliance will join us on the way right after this on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
AOA today brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more online at cenex.com. Well, the Biden administration has released their SAF tax credit guidance here this week for the 40B tax credit. And a wide reaction to the tax credit guidance out from the agriculture, ethanol industries, and more. And we're going to talk about that right now here on the show. Joining us for a conversation, he is the CEO of the American Carbon Alliance. Tom Bias is with us here on AOA today. Tom, welcome back to the show. It's great to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm great. It's always great to be on your show. Thanks.
Well, let's start, Tom. Like I mentioned, getting wide reaction from folks here on this guidance out from the U.S. Treasury Department for the 40B, the updated GREET modeling, and more. Give us your perspective. What is American Carbon Alliance's perspective and stance on the news that we've gotten out here from the Biden administration now regarding the sustainable aviation fuel tax credits?
Well, what our opinion is that it was a good move forward for ethanol, corn ethanol produced in the United States, because up to this point, the federal government hadn't adopted a modeling system that we thought was anywhere close to being realistic. We were our carbon index score was being calculated by people who added all kinds of non-factual based items that made us not a low carbon fuel. And so what the administration adopted was a modeling system that comes from their own Department of Energy that's more realistic than the international models that other people have used. So that qualifies corn ethanol plants going forward that have captured the carbon at the plant and sequestered it in the ground. That's a huge development.
I know that some folks have said it's a stepping stone. This is a great groundwork to start, but maybe a little more work needs to be done. As I know, this 40B tax credit, we're going to kind of evolve this into the 45Z tax credit as we get into next year. If that's kind of how I understand it. I know that they're going to have a working group and board that's going to continue to kind of look at this whole modeling and tax credit environment for SAF here moving forward. It kind of sounds like there's still maybe a little bit of work to be done here as we move forward. Am I reading that right, Tom?
You are, because 40B, okay, there were there were multiple programs in the Inflation Reduction Act. And so Treasury yesterday released the guidance for 40B. 40B actually expires at the end of the year. So whatever they put out for farmer requirements and stuff like that cannot be met this year, but that's kind of you set that aside because really 45Z, which they will probably announce later this year, the guidance for that, that's the one that really matters. And and what they did was they clearly recognized in this 40B, which this is precedent, the value of corn ethanol as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. And the on-farm carbon reduction items that they talked about, I think that's a work in progress that'll be more fully developed as they go forward with 45Z. But the 52% reduction for capturing carbon at the ethanol plants is gigantic. I mean, if you look at the Summit carbon pipeline, which is what they're trying to do, is get 57 ethanol plants and capture their carbon and ship it to North Dakota to store it forever. That's a huge development.
We're talking with Tom Bias, the CEO of the American Carbon Alliance. Tom, looking at this modeling, obviously trying to build out this sustainable aviation fuel market and the carbon markets and more here for U.S. agriculture. I know that we've seen Brazilian sugarcane ethanol come into America. This one has me a little curious, scratching my head as I was reading that that headline here a few days ago, and I know you shared some thoughts on that as well. Talk about this, because to me, with Brazilian sugarcane ethanol getting imported into the U.S. for sustainable aviation fuel, that's something that we don't want to see that if we're American agriculture, right?
Exactly. And it kind of combines with yesterday's announcement, because only Brazilian sugarcane ethanol qualified as a low carbon index fuel. And so there was really no signal that you could use corn ethanol as a feedstock because we didn't meet the requirements. By them adopting the GREET model, which says that there's a 52% reduction in the carbon index for corn ethanol, going forward, we'll be able to qualify. Once the ethanol plants capture the carbon and sequester it, that'll make them eligible. There's no way we should be giving away our market or the potential market. Sustainable aviation fuel is a 3 billion gallon market by 2030. That's big. Overall, it's a 50 billion gallon market moving forward. All the airlines are trying to get sustainable aviation fuel. But the problem they have is they don't have enough feedstock. So corn ethanol could be that feedstock moving forward. And the value just to rural America is huge. It means we're part of that next generation of biofuels. It means the profitability would be returned to the farmers and the ethanol plants and those rural communities. You know, right now, a lot of farmers are looking at cost of production higher than what they can receive. And the only way to change that is to increase demand. And capturing carbon is that way.
Well, and I know I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know you shared an opinion piece with us that we had on our website here a few days ago. You talked about that exact point there about the farm economy and where things are at and the need to maybe open up some new markets and more. As we kind of wrap up here, Tom, final thoughts today. surrounding SAF and some of these new market opportunities and carbon capture, and obviously the pipeline situation. We continue to watch that as well. Any updates there or anything final you'd want to share with us here today?
Well, and just the fact that yesterday's announcement was a good step forward, and we need that in American agriculture and rural America. The markets have kind of stalled on new demand. We got excess supply, and every farmer continues to produce even more and more on their farms. The ethanol industry is more efficient, so we need new demand, and sustainable aviation fuel gets us there. And capturing carbon and putting it in a pipeline and in those five states and shipping it to an area where you can store it forever is an invaluable tool for helping turn around rural America's economy.
And as far as the pipeline projects too, any news updates there? I know we're waiting on various state boards to look at some different regulations and things like that. Is anything new to update there real quick, Tom?
Well, Iowa, everybody's waiting on decision with the Iowa Utility Board. They've had all their hearings. All that process is complete. It's just up to them. We would anticipate that happening soon. North Dakota is in the midst of their hearings, which there are three of them scheduled around the state. One of them has been concluded. And then South Dakota just recently passed at the legislature legislation that allow the state to decide whether or not carbon pipelines can come in and not the individual counties. So all that's positive. But it takes time, and we're just in that time frame where we're waiting.
Well, we'll continue to watch. I know folks can learn more about the American Carbon Alliance online, americancarbonalliance.org. With that, the CEO of ACA, Tom Bias. Tom, thanks for joining us on the program again, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Tom Bias, CEO of the American Carbon Alliance, joining us here on today's AOA. And again, this sustainable aviation fuel markets and the tax credit rules and more, this is a discussion that's going to be ongoing here, and especially as we look to get that 45Z credit as well. We're going to talk more about this coming up after the break with Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association. Back with more AOA brought to you by Cinex right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check and agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Corn, U.S. corn exports remain on pace to reach the USDA estimate or more, with both sales and inspections up 32%, exceeding last year. Brazil has no corn offers until July, so the U.S. is poised to pick up more business in the next few months. U.S. corn sales for the week of April 25th were 29.9 million bushels for 2023-24 and 1.3 million bushels for 2024-25. Shipments last week were 54.4 million bushels, above the 39 million bushels needed each week to reach 2.1 billion bushels. Total corn commitments are now 1.84 billion bushels and up 23% from a year ago. Soybeans, soy sales for the week of April 25th were 15.2 million bushels for 2023-24. Shipments of 9.9 million bushels were below the 12.8 million bushels needed weekly to reach 1.7 billion bushels. Total soy commitments of 1.54 billion bushels, that's down 17% from last year. In wheat, weather remains a concern in both the U.S., Western and Southern Plains wheat areas, and the Black Sea, where conditions remain too dry. On a bullish note, there's more talk about the wheat stocks in India being much lower than a year ago, and estimates are that India will likely have to import from 3 to as much as 6 million metric tons of wheat. Ukraine has been able to export an estimated 1.9 million metric tons of wheat, that in the month of April, along with 4.1 million metric tons of corn, that despite the constant attacks from Russia. On the livestock side, packers are not expected to be aggressive in the cattle this week, also not expected to be aggressive for hogs. Hopefully, export sales for hogs will show improvements over the past few weeks. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel will help to keep your trucks on the road. Learn more, trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location, or find out more online at cenex.com. As we continue our conversation surrounding sustainable aviation fuel and the tax credit guidance out this week from the Biden administration, we want to get perspective now from the American Soybean Association. Joining us, ASA President Josh Gackle from North Dakota. Josh, it's great to have you back on the show with us again. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. Good to be with you. It's a little bit wet here, so hoping for some drier weather coming up and get back in the field.
I was going to say, before we jump into issues, I know a lot of rain across many areas of the Corn Belt and the Plains, and how have things been going so far this spring planting season? Still a pretty slow go in North Dakota for you?
Well, we got a pretty good start last week with our small grains and got most of our barley in the ground, and people who are growing wheat around here got some of that done, but we've been pretty wet over the past week, so we're scratching that itch to get at the corn and soybeans, but right now that's on hold.
Well, hopefully get a few dry days and be able to get going on some of that corn and soybean planting here across the state of North Dakota, across the Northern Plains, et cetera, the upper Midwest, I know parts of the Corn Belt too, pretty saturated here the last few days. Well,
sure.
Let's talk issues. Sustainable aviation fuel tax credit guidance. The Biden administration releasing this here this week and the updated GREET modeling, this 40B tax credit. We talked in the last segment with Tom Bias from the American Carbon Alliance, got some of their perspective on this. And I know that this is going to roll into this 45Z tax credit for next year, et cetera. But I know you have shared some thoughts that this modeling out here this week for the Biden administration is maybe a little too restrictive for farmers in certain parts of the country, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it does create some regional disparities for growers from the Northern Plains. It's just going to be different for us here in North Dakota than it is for farmers in Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, even further south in the Delta. There's certain cover crop and no-till practices that can be employed more easily and flexibly in some other areas, you know, with our short growing season and unpredictable fall weather, makes it a little tougher up here in the north. Certainly appreciate the guidance. We've been waiting for this, American Soybean Association and other commodity groups to get this guidance and see what feedstocks would qualify and what the tax credit would be. So, you know, including soy and other ag feedstocks is important and helpful, and we appreciate that. But some of the tight restrictions or requirements when it comes to cover crop practices and no-till makes it more difficult in some parts of the country than others. So hoping to continue to work with the administration moving forward into that 45Z and the 2025 tax credit to maybe get some more flexibility and provide farmers more opportunities to participate.
Well, and I know Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has said, and I quote, "This is a stepping stone," end quote. And I know what the 40B tax credit says. We have been hearing about that expires this year. So really, you know, a lot of farmers probably not going to qualify this year. But getting into that 45Z, as you mentioned, and continuing to work with the administration, what needs to happen to make the 45Z rules a little bit more open for farmers here, especially farmers in your neck of the woods? I mean, what needs to be done here, Josh?
I think it's just sharing more information. You know, this SAF market is emerging, a fledgling market. It's there's a huge potential there. The amount of liquid fuels used in the aviation industry, and the support or the product that American farmers can provide, that potential is it's just a huge potential there. So sharing the information about farming practices and what farmers can actually do on their farms, you know, here in North Dakota, when we can, we do cover crops, we employ no-till and minimal till practices. But again, just sharing that information, actual farming practices on the ground, and, you know, the administration, they do take our information. We're constantly talking with them as farmers, with the agencies, with different people, putting the rules in place. So again, continuing that information sharing, sharing farming practices and what we already are doing on our farms to meet the model that's been announced here under the GREET model, under 40B. And then again, you know, providing more flexibility moving forward into 2025 and beyond.
I know Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has said that monitoring compliance of some of these practices to, you know, qualify for these tax credits is going to be, as he said, near impossible. Are you worried that some of this compliance could be tough to monitor overall, Josh?
I think there's ways we can work through that. Certainly it is, you know, farmers are busy, planting season, harvest season. There's a lot going on our farms, and to keep those records and to share those with the agencies, employing the rules and providing the credit and the information, that's just another step in the process. But, you know, farmers keep good track of what we're doing on our farms. And when we're, meeting requirements of the Farm Bill, of NRCS rules, you know, many farmers are already involved in CSP and EQIP and other programs related to conservation and climate smart practices. So I think we have that information. It's just trying to make that transition where sharing that information is easier and not so burdensome for farmers.
We're talking with Josh Gackle, president of the American Soybean Association, here today on Agriculture of America. Josh, good thoughts there with this SAF, and I know this is going to be an issue, to your point, to work with the administration more, and it's something that this is going to continue to evolve. We'll see what the 45Z credit looks like here, presumably in a few months. We got a little time left here in this segment. Let's talk Farm Bill. I know we've had the Farm Bill frameworks released here this week as well. It's been a busy news week out of D.C., no doubt. Sounds like we're getting some movement in terms of a Farm Bill. Also still sounds like we are having some disagreements between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill. Anything you've heard latest in terms of this Farm Bill and what we could be seeing here in, I know, maybe a markup in a couple of weeks, it sounds like, in the House. So what's your latest thoughts and perspective on the Farm Bill?
Yeah, we've heard that news, and we have our farmers, our board, continue to talk with the chairs, the ranking members, committee members on both the House and Senate side, staff in D.C. continually engaged. So it's encouraging to see some movement from both the House and the Senate. Looking forward to the markup coming out of G.T. Thompson's committee here in a couple weeks, as he mentioned. What we've heard so far is that many of the priorities that American Soybean Association and other farm groups have identified over the past couple of years are maybe not to the exact level that we have encouraged, but there are some of those policy issues that are included, whether it's reference prices or base acre updates, funding for exports and foreign market development and those types of things that we've identified as bringing, profitability back to U.S. producers. They are considering those, and we hope to see them in the bills that get marked up here in the next few weeks. So again, good to see something moving forward. It's not unexpected that there's still disagreement. I mean, that's the way things work in D.C., but at least they're talking and hoping to put something out here soon.
Well, and hopefully, if we can get markups going and whatnot, hopefully we can get something done here yet this year. I don't think anybody wants to see another one-year extension of the 2018 legislation, but of course, with presidential politics and more, one has to wonder, is this going to get done before the election? Could it get done in the lame duck session? And a lot of questions there, it seems like, Josh.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we've always said that sooner is better than later. The longer this drags out into the political and election season, I think everybody knows that it just gets harder to get it done. So encouraged that they're talking now and hoping to put something out there, and maybe that'll spur some negotiations and come to some type of agreement before we get too late in the year.
Josh, got about a minute here real quick. I know last time we had you on the show, we were talking about trade, and you'd been in D.C. talking U.S.-China relations and more, and there's been a lot of pressure, it seems, on Ambassador Tai here lately, just the lack of trade deals out from this administration. Any thoughts for you on this trade conversation that's continuing?
Well, I mean, it's we've talked SAF and trying to find ways to build domestic demand here in the U.S., but our export markets, most of what we grow, especially in the soybean world, is exported. So continuing to urge the administration, whether it's large trade agreements or working with China to resolve some of those issues, or other countries, continuing to build those export markets and find new markets. There was a recent trip to India with some U.S. growers and other commodity groups, and Doug McCaleb from USTR, they all made a trip to India a couple weeks ago. So, those relationships are continuing to look for opportunities there. So work is being done, but probably not as fast as we would like here as U.S. producers.
No, I agree with you on that, but hopefully we can get some things moving here down the road. Josh, always appreciate a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. Best of luck with the rest of spring planting season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Good to be with you.
Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association, with us here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help fleets and farmers and ranchers achieve superior strength and performance. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're going to talk cattle issues with RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard. He joins us next on AOA.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh.
Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7. 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand. And many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more online at cenex.com. Bill Bullard is the CEO for RCAF USA, and he joins us now here on the program. Bill, thanks so much for the time. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's start the announcement out from USDA here last week on the electronic ear tags, this EID mandate. I know this has been a very hot topic throughout the cattle industry. A lot of folks, different sides of this issue. Share with us your thoughts on this whole EID, electronic ear tag situation, Bill.
So the U.S. Department of Agriculture has been trying to impose this upon the industry since 1999. So this has been going on for a quarter century. And the industry has pushed back at every juncture. And so the USDA has watered down its request, trying to reduce the level of opposition so it could get its foot into the door and eventually do what it wants to do. And that is to require the exclusive use of electronic identification in all cattle from the time of birth through slaughter. That's their ultimate objective. And so the final rule that was just issued is one that will require adult cattle shipped across state lines to be affixed with a electronic identification ear tag. It will be mandatory. It strips producers of their ability to have choice and flexibility because producers were promised back in 2013 when the last final rule was issued that they would have the flexibility to choose the type of animal identification device that best fit their operation. It could be a metal ear tag, it could be a plastic ear tag, a brand tattoo, and group identification. But now USDA is saying it must be the exclusive use of a mandatory animal, a mandatory EID tag. And the benefit really flows to the multinational meat packers and the multinational ear tag manufacturers who now have exactly what they wanted, and the government has handed it to them at the expense of U.S. cattle producers. We are opposed to this this final rule, and we intend to fight it. And we're going to start with Congress. We're going to ask Congress if they would pass legislation to prohibit the Secretary of Agriculture from mandating any particular type of animal identification device. And we're going to also see if Congress will introduce a resolution of disapproval, which is the means by which Congress can overturn a federal agency's rules that they believe is the result of overreaching. And that's certainly what we believe here.
Speaking of resolutions of disapproval, I know this Paraguayan beef issue, we have that out there as well. Any updates on that situation, Bill?
Well, what we know is that it passed the Senate by a record margin. It was something like 70 to 20 senators in favor of the resolution that would overturn USDA's efforts to allow fresh beef from Paraguay, which is a country that is not free of foot and mouth disease. And so now the resolution has gone to the House, and we're awaiting the scheduling for a vote on that. And we're going to activate our members and have them call their members of Congress in full support of this resolution of disapproval. And this will be a good test case, because if it works there, it should also work with the EID rule.
Bill, I'm going to try to connect a couple dots here. I think with both those topics, with Paraguayan beef and the ear tags, traceability is kind of at the heart of this issue. And there's a lot of conversation amongst the industry about this. Can we find common ground for traceability? It seems like a lot of stakeholders here on both sides.
Right. And the 2013 rule was the compromise. It was when cattle producers agreed to a mandatory animal identification system when adult cattle were shipped across state lines. And in return for that agreement, they were offered the flexibility to choose the device that best worked for them. They could choose the very inexpensive metal ear tag, or they could choose the most costly type of device, and that is the electronic identification tag. And very importantly, in the 2013 final rule, the USDA expressly stated that the flexibility offered in this rule has been endorsed by the animal health officials who conduct disease traceback programs. And so that rule is what the industry needed. It's been in effect. It's been effective. And there was no reason for the government to impose a mandate for a very specific technology that happens to be the most expensive type of technology available today. It's an overreach on the part of the government. And so while we agree that we certainly need the ability to do tracebacks, we've been doing them for decades. There's room for improvement. We're willing to work with USDA on it. But when they come with a heavy-handed approach and said, you have no choices anymore, we're going to strip you of your freedoms and liberties, we will choose how you will manage and operate your cattle operations. That's overreach on the part of the government, and we just can't tolerate that.
Bill, real quick, as we wrap up here, the bird flu situation, tough one right now. Your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, unfortunately, our industries have become so highly concentrated, including our poultry industry, where you've got literally millions of birds on each farm. Our dairy industry has become highly concentrated. And that means that any economic shock, whether it be a disease like bird flu or a human disease like COVID-19, or even a climatic disruption, they will have a negative impact on the entire marketplace, the entire United States. And it's a threat to our national security. So this is a wake-up call that we have gone too far in centralizing and skeletonizing our food production systems. And what we need to do is go back to what worked very, very well and could withstand those kinds of shocks. And that was a family farm system of agriculture consisting of widely dispersed and disaggregated producers all across the country and with associated processing and packing plants to go along with it. But the fact of the matter is that our industry will continue to face emerging diseases like this. We're in a difficult position now. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, I believe, is doing their best to identify how this bird flu has been transmitted from poultry to dairy cows. And I think they're doing their best in trying to contain it by imposing movement restrictions on animals right now until it is contained. So we're going to have to weather through this. We have no choice. The experts, the animal health officials, are doing what they should be doing. We hope they could do it quicker. And the market is simply taking advantage and exploiting the industry because they're banking on the psychological impacts of what could happen. And we don't know what could happen. We just know that we're doing everything possible to contain this disease. So we'll just have to wait this out.
Well, with that, Bill Bullard, CEO of RCAF USA. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at V.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.